Luke chapter 4. The message today is God's man for the job. Luke chapter 4. Been in this area of the scriptures for many weeks now. And I want to tell you some thoughts as to how God presents His Son to us in this passage. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And He entered, as His custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And He opened the book, and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me." And then there is listed the tasks that lay before the anointed Son to accomplish in the world. You remember them? To preach the gospel to the poor, as Isaiah tells us, to heal the brokenhearted, open the eyes of the blind, preach recovering the sight of the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Notice verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to do all these things." Now, let's see this portion in Isaiah 11. Let's look at that. Isaiah 11. There are three great passages in Isaiah having to do with the Lord Jesus and the Spirit in relation to Him. This is the first. The second is in chapter 42, and the other in chapter 61. That's the portion from which our Savior read. Now, Isaiah 11, verse 1. "And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his root shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." That's enough. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we give thee thanks for the great honor of looking upon thy Son. That was told us concerning him. The Word was with God and was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. We are thankful, our Father, that this Lord of glory was in the world, and you permitted men to behold the glory as much as they were able, the glory that you, with thy Son, from all eternity, had enjoyed. We desire this day to see thy Son, our Father, to learn of him. That you tell us that he came to earth is a thing that calls us to marvel. We would learn from the scriptures his ways upon earth. So by the Spirit, teach us those things. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you ever read the war ads, and if you ever read Help Wanted, you find some amusing things. Some of them you read and you laugh. Something like this. For sale. A television set paid $600 for it will sell for $575. You just laugh. Nobody is going to pay any attention to that. And then, wanted. And speaking about a man that they want to work, they want a brilliant man. They want a loyal man. They want a fearless man. And then they will state his salary. And it's so poor that you laugh and say, nobody with those qualifications would even be interested in responding to that ad. Well, here's what God has done. God says, wanted a man who can solve all the problems of the world. And he's listed some of them for us. A world that is filled with broken hearts, bruised reeds, blind people, prisoners, the world filled with all of those problems. And God is looking for a man to solve all of those problems. And the same result that we had in Revelation 5 is the same outcome and the experience of God if he had to find a man for the job in this world. It was a book. It was co-sealed with seven seals. And there was a mighty angel who said, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof? And it said, heaven and earth and under the earth was searched, and no one was found worthy to open the book or to look thereon. And it broke John's heart. This one who was beholding all of this taking place in heaven, it says, I wept that no man was found worthy. And then he received the answer, weep not, there is a man. But it wasn't a man of this world. It was a man of the other world. He was in the world, but before he was in the world, he was with the Father. The Bible speaks of him as the Lord of glory. The Bible speaks of him as the Lord from heaven. And so God looked. Just as in Revelation 5, the universe was searched for someone that was worthy, and no one was forthcoming. And so from the day that Adam sinned, God has been looking for a man to solve all the earth's problems. And the one that God wants has never been found. And since no one on earth could be found, it says, God sent forth his Son. The Lord Jesus said, I am come down from heaven. Do you see? God's man for the job is not a man of the earth, earthy, but he is the Lord from heaven. So God has found a man for the job. Satan would like to destroy the purposes of God, to make impossible the promises that God has put before man to give him hope. He would like to dash those promises to the ground. But God has a man. And in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son, born of a woman. You see, we of the earth, earthy, everyone who is in this world is of the earth, earthy. But the Lord Jesus is the Lord from heaven. He is the Lord of glory. He was in the world, but he was sent into the world. He came from another location. The Lord Jesus came from the bosom of the Father, and he was in the world while at the same time being the eternal God. He was in the bosom of the Father. But he said, I came out from the Father into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So, the Lord Jesus came into the world to accomplish an impossible task. Who is sufficient for these things? Paul asked. And his answer, no one is sufficient. He said, but God has made us efficient. But even with the efficiency that God gives the man, the one who could solve the world's problems must first be initiated by God's Son from heaven. So he is the man for the job. And I marvel that he ever came. I remember seeing a skit a long time ago, and it showed an egg, and a little chick had pecked its way out and stuck its head out and looked around, and its mother had abandoned it, and a hawk was flying in the sky, and there was no food, and lightning and thunder and rain were coming, and the little chick pulled its head back in and closed the shell and said, I'm not going into that world. Now, I would not blame the Lord Jesus if he looked down upon the responsibilities, the tasks, the problems that existed in the world. I would not have blamed him at all had he said to his Father, I'm not going. And remember, it was his choice. As at Isaiah 6, the question was put forth, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? And the answer was, here am I, send me. And in the councils of the Godhead, it was not that the Son was thrust, was compelled to go, as Jonah was compelled to go, but as the words of Isaiah, here am I, send me. Because it can be said of the Son that he loved the world as much as the Father loved the world. It says in the Psalms, his delight was in the sons of men, in Proverbs, and in the Psalms, it says, as for the saints that are in the earth, they are the excellent in whom is all my delight. So the Lord Jesus, knowing full well what lay before him, understanding the difficulty of the task, said, here am I, send me. And that is what the Father did. It was in mind from the day that sin entered into the world. It was in God's mind to send his Son into the world through the womb of the woman. He said to the serpent, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. And then for thousands of years, man waited. But in God's time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. So the Savior, knowing the task, as he always knew what was going to befall him as he took each step in the world, it says this, Jesus, knowing all things that were coming to pass, went forth. His enemies were coming to apprehend him. Jesus, knowing all these things that were coming to pass, he went forth. And it says in John 13, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. It was not that the Lord Jesus was surprised that he saw the task greater than he had known it was going to be, looking upon the hearts of men, finding them worse than he thought they were going to be. But if Isaiah and if Jeremiah and the Old Testament prophets could speak concerning man, and if this could be said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, does the Lord Jesus know less about the heart of man? And if it says even concerning those that believe on him, it says he did not entrust himself to them because he knew man and he knew what was in the heart of man. And so this is the marvel. Knowing the past, knowing the road and the obstacles that lay upon it, the Lord Jesus came from the Father into the world to accomplish a task that no one else could accomplish. As it says, that God looked upon Israel when they were in the wilderness, wallowing in their own blood. And God saw them in that condition, and he said, I'm going to rescue them. And the Lord Jesus and the Father looked down from heaven and saw us in our condition, knowing all that was involved, the difficulty of the task. He said, I came out from the Father. He said, the Father hath sent me. I did not come of my own will. So the Lord Jesus was voluntarily in the world to accomplish an impossible task. But he did accomplish that task. And how? That is why I read to you from Luke's Gospel and from Isaiah chapter 11. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me. So all you know is that the Spirit is upon him and he hath anointed him. He is anointed. He is by the Spirit made into such a condition that he is able to accomplish the purposes of God. And that is why I read to you from Isaiah 11. Listen to what it says there. It says, there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. It says, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And so that explains it. That gives in details what is involved in the Spirit coming upon him, anointing him, and it gives us all of these qualifying powers imparted to the Son by the Spirit. It says, the Spirit shall rest upon him. Now listen, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And that is the way that this impossible task was accomplished by a man born of a woman. I would have felt this. I would have thought that the Lord Jesus would have said to his Father, I would go into the world and possessing all the attributes of deity just as you, I will have no difficulty accomplishing these things. But whereas the Lord Jesus was in the world and did not leave behind one whit of his deity, he was as fully God on earth as he was in heaven, but the glory, the splendor that would have destroyed man had he looked upon it would have made it impossible for him to function as God intended him to function. That glory was veiled. I know that because the Lord Jesus said it. He said in his prayer in John 17, Father, the glory that I had with you before the world was, I want you to give me that glory back. If he himself said it, Father, I want you to give me the glory that I had with thee before the world was, then that is not his deity that was left behind, but that was the outward manifestation, the splendor of that deity. And God himself, when he came to earth, did not always manifest that glory. When the Father would come to speak to our first parents, he would walk in the garden with them. Do you think that he came with all the glory and splendor of heaven? If he did, then even before sin our parents would have hidden themselves. But he came in a manner that was congenial to the ability of these creatures of the dust to walk with God. And so the Lord Jesus, it says he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. It does not say he was made sinful flesh, but in the likeness of it. Not exempt from all the problems that beset us in the world, but he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. There are those who would make the Lord Jesus immune to and exempt from all the problems of flesh. But God sent him into the world to overcome these obstacles. The Lord Jesus said, you are they who have suffered with me. You are they who have been tempted with me. You have endured all of my temptations. And so the Lord Jesus had those temptations as well. So here he is in the world, and this impossible task looked upon by the Lord Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, says, I can do it because he was sent forth from the Father, and just before he returned to heaven, he said, Father, I glorify thee on the earth, having finished the work that you gave me to do. No one else has ever said that with perfection. One almost did. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But compare yourself, Paul, to the task of the Lord Jesus. He said, no, no. He said, as John the Baptist, I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose the laces of his shoes. But the Lord Jesus could say, that impossible task that you sent me to accomplish, I did it, Father, and I did it the way that you equipped me to do it, by the Spirit of God. Now, this is what I would have you to understand, that our Savior was aware of how this task was going to be accomplished, and at the same time, what he had known in the Old Testament, he compares in the New Testament and makes this comment on it. Understand now, it says that the Spirit being upon him, the Spirit is going to be the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So, listen to what he says. He says, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment and shall condemn this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And he said, a greater than Jonah is here. It says, the queen of the south came from the end of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And he said, a greater than Solomon is here. Listen to what he said in Matthew 11. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He spoke of wisdom. But until the Lord Jesus was born, there was no man wiser than Solomon. But once the Lord Jesus was born, he said, a greater than Solomon is here. And there was Jonah, who preached this sermon, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed, and the whole city repented. No one preached like that before the Lord Jesus came. But when the Lord Jesus came, he said, a greater than Jonah is here. And concerning meekness, it says of Moses, he was the meekest man in all the earth. But when the Lord Jesus was born, it was Moses used to be the meekest man in all the earth. And so he is superlative. And this is what thrills the heart of God. that this man, with all of these qualifications, instead of being puffed up, as Haman was with conceit, he was meek and lowly in heart. And he was quite prepared to cast himself in dependence upon his father and to finish the work that God gave him to do, empowered the way that God would have him to be empowered. And so many of my brethren would do this. They would say, well, whenever there were difficulties and trials, the Lord Jesus just drew upon his own deity. That's the way that he did it. I challenge you to show me one scripture, and I will give you the entire word of God, one scripture that ever says that Jesus drew upon his own deity to accomplish the task that the Father sent him to do. I'll give you the rest of your life, and you'll never find it. Why? Because he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit hath anointed me to do these things. It says in Acts 10 that the Lord Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power to do these things. The Scripture teaches us that all that Christ did was in the power of the Spirit. He was the dependent man cast upon the Father to supply the Spirit to him. And this is what it says in John 3. It says concerning the Son, he whom God sent speaketh the words of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure unto it. You understand? Every time it is the Spirit. Let me bring to your attention some of the scriptures concerning the Spirit in our Lord's life from the Gospel of Matthew, first of all. It says, that which is begotten in your wife Mary is of the Holy Spirit. You say, then, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. This is what John was told. Upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, it says, this is he. This is the anointed one, the promised one. And it says in Isaiah 11, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit was he who conceived the Lord Jesus in the womb. And I would tell you this because some say that Christ was devoid of the Spirit until the day of his baptism. Have you no understanding? It says that he was conceived of the Spirit. And someday I must do this, but there is an eightfold reference to the Spirit of the Lord in reference to the life of Christ as pictured in the meal offering. Eight different ways that this meal offering is related to oil. And it says this. It says, you are to have oiled bread. It's bread of oil. It was saturated. It was satiated with oil. And from the very conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God was in him in his fullness. However, the Lord Jesus is seen being anointed by the Spirit in a special way for special service at his baptism, not teaching us that for the first time he had experienced the Spirit. He was conceived of the Spirit. He was in the Spirit, satiated. The Lord Jesus was the man of the Spirit, equipped by the Spirit. But the Spirit in this capacity, just as in the meal offering, there are eight different ways that they are spoken of oil in relation to that. So the Spirit at this time comes upon him as the anointed. And he is anointed to do these specific things. This is what God would have us to understand. As if somehow the Lord Jesus struggled through life without the Spirit for 30 years, and then about 30 years of age, the Spirit came upon him. It says, he giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. There was in the Lord Jesus certainly more than was said of John the Baptist. It says, he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. I see. A mortal, a sinner, filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, and the Lord Jesus had nothing of the Spirit from his mother's womb. He was satiated with the Spirit from his mother's womb. And then that office of being anointed by the Spirit, that took place when our Savior was baptized. And having been baptized, it says that was imparted to him that wisdom, that understanding, that counsel, that might, that knowledge, that fear of the Lord. And when those gifts are imparted to him, he says, I will face any task that the world places before me, and I will accomplish that task. And this is my challenge to you. Whether you are lost or whether you're saved, there is no problem in your life that cannot be settled by the Lord Jesus Christ, the man to whom the Spirit is given without measure. Not only is it given to him, but he is the one who can impart to you that Spirit that will empower you to do as he himself did in life. On occasion, the Spirit was given to his apostles to do the miraculous. He can do that today. I do not see him doing it today. He can do it if he pleases. He can impart the Spirit to meet every need that is yours now in this life. And what he does not do for you now, he shall do in the life to come. Those that are blind, those that are afflicted, those that are suffering, he may not heal you now as he did when he was on earth. But I promise you that through that Spirit, when he does come from heaven, in a moment, all of those problems that exist in his wisdom and in his timing, he will remove those problems. Because it says, our citizenship is in heaven, for which also we wait for a Savior who shall change our vile bodies, the bodies of our humiliation, and he will conform them to the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. And so he promises you that as soon as he comes from heaven. If he desires, he can miraculously do it. He did it for years when he was on earth. He did it for years after he went back to heaven. I have not seen him doing it of late, but he is able if he wishes to. And he is the one who in his own life solved all earth's problems by the power of the Spirit, and that is what he will do for your life. You say, I'm lost. I can't be saved. There is no man that cannot be saved because the chief of sinners has already been saved. You say, I'm a Christian, but I'm carnal. I cannot live a life of victory and glory to God. It says you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And the power that works in us is the same power that works in him. And I have never seen the Spirit of God limited in this way. If you say, oh God, I want your Spirit to empower me to love the Lord Jesus more and to live for the Lord Jesus more, he will not suppress that desire, that prayer. And so if it is sin, the Spirit will empower you. As it says in Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under law, but you are under grace. And with the salvation comes also the deliverance from the power of sin in this life. And at the same time, if you are lost, it says that Christ came to release the captive, the prisoner. He can free you from your chains, from your bondage in sin. All of these things he did when he was on earth, and he is able to do through his servants today. And so God's man for the job is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only man that can do the job. He is the only man that can meet your need. And he wants to work for you today. God sent him for heaven for you. Let him work. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that a greater than Jonah was on earth, a greater than Solomon, a greater than Moses, all that man can think of, and the small excellences that can be seen in their lives, we are thankful, our God, for the surpassing glories of Christ that transcends all that is to be seen in man. We are thankful for what he did when he was on earth. We are thankful for what he can do for us today. So, according to the power that worketh in us, our God, may thy Spirit work to save the lost and to let those who are saved bring glory to thee, our Father, as thy Son did when he was on earth. Grant this, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Me neither.